KCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Crosstalk on VCY America. As today, we're going to just briefly review by audio some of the State of the Union address last evening, but more importantly, give you opportunity to give reaction to the speech that came from President Donald Trump as he gave his first official State of the Union address before a joint session of Congress last evening. In an attempt to show America how far it has come in the first year of his presidency, WND.com reports that President Trump praised his accomplishments in the first State of the Union address and listed new initiatives in his bold plan to build a safe, strong, and proud America. Despite an approval rating hovering around 40%, the president celebrated a list of his biggest achievements after only 1 year in office, from tax reform to defeating ISIS, slashing excessive regulations, and ending the war on American energy and clean coal, reports WND.com. CBN News has filed this story. Let's just listen to this brief overview regarding the State of the Union.
Let's begin tonight by recognizing that the state of our union is strong because our people are strong.
The theme of the State of the Union was building a safe, proud, and strong America, with the president touching on major issues he hopes will appeal to both parties.
While touting his first-year accomplishments, like cutting back on government regulations and taxes.
And just as I promised the American people from this podium 11 months ago, we enacted the biggest tax cuts and reforms in American history.
And addressing things both sides care about, like immigration reform and rebuilding America's infrastructure in its roads and bridges.
I'm calling on Congress to produce a bill that generates at least $1.5 trillion for the new infrastructure investment that our country so desperately needs.
But despite the president's best efforts to speak to the other side of the aisle, many times during the speech, more moderate Democratic senators like Joe Manchin were the only members of the party standing.
I have respect for the office. I really do. And just to sit there shows us, I just wasn't raised that way. A lack of civility, a lack of respect.
Manchin says the president's speech was more bipartisan than he's heard in the past.
We're going to have to join, and he's put the olive branch out, and let's grab it and work together.
Following the speech, Republicans spoke highly of the president's address and his first year in office.
It was so inspiring. He talked about making America great again, as he did in the campaign.
What a remarkable year, because anyone have ever predicted the outcomes of what's happened this year. Number one, we have the most pro-life president we've ever had.
And many were impressed with the president's promise to protect religious liberty in America and rely on God.
In America, we know that faith and family, not government and bureaucracy, are the center of American life. The motto is, in God we trust.
Congressman Jody Heiss, a former pastor, told CBN News he was moved by the president's commitment to God.
And it's very moving for me and refreshing to have a commander-in-chief speak with such boldness as to the foundation of our faith.
For the next several days, Republican lawmakers will meet with the president at the annual GOP retreat to put the policies he outlined into action as they look ahead to the 2018 midterm election. Reporting from Capitol Hill, Abigail Robertson, CBN News.
And on that report, as you heard, that's again from CBN News, but reported about the GOP lawmakers going to a retreat with the president to join the president. And many of you heard the news that broke late this morning here as a train carrying members of Congress to this Republican retreat in West Virginia did slam into a dump truck today. Lawmakers being thrown from their seats. There is at least one death being reported, that coming from the truck that evidently was stalled on the tracks has been reported. The White House confirmed that fatality. Congressman Jeff Denham of California said it was a very high-speed collision. No braking that was felt. We hit an immediate impact. We went from 70 to zero very quickly, he said. More on this speech in just a moment, but other breaking news that came forth today as well as Trey Gowdy, who is the from South Carolina, Republican, chairman of the House Oversight Committee, announced he is not going to be seeking re-election. This from FoxNews.com. The former federal prosecutor, elected to Congress in 2010, quickly gained fame for his role in investigating Obama administration scandals on the Oversight Committee. And he was on this House Select Committee on Benghazi. He's a member of the House Intelligence Committee. He's been outspoken about the FBI's investigation into 2016 Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton's email practices, as well as the Russia probe involving President Trump and his aides. Most recently, he's been a proponent of publicly releasing the House Intelligence Committee memo on alleged government surveillance abuses. But listen to what he said. He said, "Whatever skills I may have are better utilized in a courtroom than in Congress. And I enjoy our justice system more than our political system. As I look back on my career, it is the jobs that both seek and reward fairness that are most rewarding." In the House, more than 30 Republicans are retiring, resigning, or running for another office. This exodus is the largest number of retirements since the 1994 congressional elections. Democrats will need to flip 24 seats to take back the House next year. But back to the president's speech. But again, that breaking news this morning. Several quotes from that speech saying, "We want every American to know the dignity of a hard day's work. We want every child to be safe in their home at night. And we want every citizen to be proud of this land that we love." He said, "Just as I promised the American people from this podium 11 months ago, we enacted the biggest tax cuts and reform in American history." He said, "This is our new American moment. There has never been a better time to start living the American dream. In our drive to make Washington accountable, we've eliminated more regulations in our first year than any administration in history." He said, "We have ended the war on American energy. We have ended the war on clean coal. We are now an exporter of energy to the world." Other phrases from his speech last night: "America has also finally turned the page on decades of unfair trade deals that sacrificed our prosperity and shipped away our companies, our jobs, and our nation's wealth." He said, "America is a nation of builders. We built the Empire State Building in just 1 year. Isn't it a disgrace that it can take 10 years just to get a permit approved for a single road?" He said, "I'm asking both parties to come together to give us the safe, fast, reliable, and modern infrastructure our economy needs and our people deserve." And one other statement, he said, "Last year I pledged that we would work with our allies to extinguish ISIS from the face of the earth. 1 year later, I'm proud to report that the coalition to defeat ISIS has liberated almost 100% of the territory once held by these killers in Iraq and Syria. But there's much more work to be done. We will continue our fight until ISIS is defeated." Very interesting. CBS News came out with a poll saying that viewers approve of Trump's first State of the Union speech. This is from CBS. 3 in 4 Americans who tuned in to the president's State of the Union address approved of the speech he gave. Just a quarter disapproved. How did the speech make you feel? Among speech watchers, 65% said proud, 35% safer, 14% said scared, 21% said angry. That again from a CBS poll. Also very interesting last night, as pointed out by FoxNews.com, the State of the Union, here's their headline: "Glum Democrats sit on hands, walk out and rip President Trump's calls for unity." They scowled as President Trump touted soaring jobs numbers, sat stone-faced when he honored veterans, and one even walked out after becoming triggered by a patriotic chant. Well, last night, as congressmen and senators were yelling out USA, USA, evidently, one could not take it any longer and walked out. Democrats at President Trump's first State of the Union after a year of partisan rancor showed that they were in no mood to accept his call for bipartisanship. "Tonight," he said, "I call on all of us to set aside our differences, to seek out common ground, to summon the unity we need to deliver for the people. This is really the key. These are the people we are elected to serve." Well, the call was met with one of more than 100 rounds of applause, but from just one side of the aisle. President Trump had undeniably contributed to the division in Washington. They say the images of petulant partisans seething at feel-good rhetoric was jarring for many observers. Did you notice that last night? Did you notice that very broad division last evening? Matter of fact, an entire row of Democrats refused to stand up even for the family whose two girls were murdered by MS-13. Members during the address chose not to stand when the president honored Louisiana Republican Steve Scalise and praised his resolve for returning to work less than 4 months after he took a bullet from a gunman and almost died, targeted for being a Republican. Yet they could not stand in applause. They chose not to stand in applause for a 12-year-old boy in the gallery, that is, when President Trump praised him for putting flags on soldiers' graves on Veterans Day. There are three notable exceptions, though, among Democrat senators: Joe Manchin of West Virginia, Joe Donnelly of Indiana, and Heidi Heitkamp of North Dakota, all red state Democrats facing re-election bids in November. They stood and applauded multiple times. And yet you look at the guest list, we saw who the president invited as he highlighted them in his speech last evening. And yet, as a matter of fact, one of those that he honored was one of the profiles in Courage. One of the honored guests that he focused on was a police officer who saved an unborn baby addicted to drugs and spotlighted the power of adoption. This from LifeNews.com. Few people would say yes to adopting a drug-addicted infant on the spot, but New Mexico police officer Ryan Holitz did without any hesitation. But he and his wife recently adopted Baby Hope, the child of an Albuquerque homeless woman who continues to struggle with drug addictions. Holitz met Hope's birth mother, Crystal Champ, on September 23rd while he was responding to a call about a possible theft, the Daily Mail reports. Behind the store, Holitz said he found Champ heavily pregnant and shooting up heroin. She told him that she was between 7 and 8 months pregnant. "Why do you have to be doing that stuff? It's going to ruin your baby," Holitz told Champ. Champ said that Holitz's scolding hurt, but she also sensed that he cared about her well-being and her unborn babies. Champ never considered aborting her unborn baby. She had been hoping that somebody would offer to adopt her child. Without hesitation, Holitz, a father of four, did. He told CNN that he felt God urging him to offer to adopt Champ's baby. He said he and his wife, Rebecca, had been considering adoption, but they decided to wait because their youngest child was still an infant. But when Holitz told his wife about the situation, she also agreed to adopt Champ's child, saying, quote, "We feel God has called us to do that," Rebecca said. "It's been on our hearts for a while." Well, last night, President Trump honored Officer Holitz for his courage and the love he and his family showed. When you take a look, though, at the guest lists that were coming from the other side of the aisle, not only did several Democratic House lawmakers boycott the president's speech, but many more brought illegal aliens to the speech. At least 24 Democratic legislators, including Nancy Pelosi, the minority whip Steny Hoyer, and Representative Gutierrez, invited DACA recipients or self-identified dreamers to the Capitol for the speech. Others brought in guests who are facing deportation or family members who have been deported. According to ABC News, 10 legislators bringing feminist activists and sexual assault accusers to promote the Me Too movement. We'll be back with some further thoughts on this after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, popular creation speaker and author with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, has the Bible been confirmed by archaeological discoveries?
In many ways it has, Chris. Many ancient artifacts have been found, and in each case they confirm the general framework given in Scripture. The Bible claims to be a book of true history, and we would expect to find historical evidence and general agreement with it. But we wouldn't expect everything to be found. Much of the Bible took place long ago, and documents would be rare. But with many turns of the archaeologist's spade, we find details that support Scripture. Yes, we can be confident that the Bible is literally true, and even better than that, it's spiritually true. The evidence we find in history enhances our confidence in its spiritual claims. It all started back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
Thank you.
You're listening to Crosstalk on BCY America, and sharing some immediate comments here on the State of the Union speech last evening. Just a few minutes, we'll be opening phone lines to give you opportunity to weigh in on the speech itself. We are mentioning, though, the list of individuals invited and attending the State of the Union address last evening, whereby a number of Democratic lawmakers invited illegal aliens to be a part of the gallery in watching the speech from the president. A number of legislators brought feminist activists to the speech. Representative Joe Kennedy, who gave the official Democratic response to the president's speech, chosen to highlight gender politics with his guest, the Army Staff Sergeant Patricia King, who is transgender. And then you have open homosexual Mark Pocan from Wisconsin, who brought with him Randy Bryce as his guest, as a, well, what many believe to be just a political move, because it is such that Randy Bryce is one who is going to be campaigning against Paul Ryan, Speaker of the House. And by the way, speaking of Paul Ryan, from LifeNews.com, it was he who chose to bring a pro-life guest to sit in the congressional chamber during the speech last evening. His guest was a pro-life nurse who was forced to assist in a late-term abortion. Her presence to spotlight the important conscience rights issues that medical professionals face who don't want to be forced or be involved in abortions. Also highlighting the recent actions President Trump took to provide additional legal protections for such pro-life doctors and nurses. It's also interesting to note much of the response coming from various sources as well. The Council on American-Islamic Relations said that, and this is a tweet that was sent out from CARE National. CARE National prefers, listen to this, CARE National prefers the five pillars of Islam and a vibrant and inclusive American democracy over Trump's four pillars of dismantling our nation's immigration system. Keeping families together is the bedrock of a great American society. Hashtag CARE on hashtag SOTU, State of the Union, hashtag faith over fear. One of the issues that also came up last evening was the honoring of this young boy, Preston, as the president really the headline here is from Breaking Christian News. Trump scorched NFL flag protests in his address, highlighting young Preston who had respect for those who have served our nation, reminding us that why we salute our flag, why we put our hands on our hearts for the Pledge of Allegiance, and why we proudly stand for the national anthem. The president virtually belted out in reference to 12-year-old Preston Sharp and his flag planting efforts as his supporters took to their feet and clapped their hands. I should say most of the Congress stood for that moment. I'd like to get your reaction to the speech last night. Our phone number to Crosstalk and our lines are open here at 800-733-9829. Was this a speech that moved you? Was this a speech that caused you to feel good about the nation, about the leadership of the nation, concerns over the nation, direction over which way we are headed as a nation? One observation made is the disappointment on the part of many that there was not mention made on the right to life in this speech by President Trump. Though the Senate had just failed in a vote to stop abortions, the late-term abortions, as China is a practicing country, North Korea, the U.S. is falling lockstep and barrel right with those nations, as the U.S. Senate has failed to do that. Many disappointed that the president did not respond in that regard to address these issues. What is your reaction to the speech last night? Our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. Those in the LGBT community through Human Rights Campaign upset that the president did not speak about LGBT issues and equality issues, or at least they, as they pointed out, they would give President Obama, former President Obama, would give a shout out to the LGBT community. Your reactions today at 800-733-9829. We're going to begin with Nancy calling from Milwaukee. Hi, Nancy. You're on the air.
Hi. My observations about the speech last night were that it seemed that Chuck and Nancy were more concerned that the Democrats that were sitting around them would stay in line under their leadership rather than do the will of the people. Hmm. And the reason I think that was that they both turned around during the various standing ovations
often
for the president to see who was standing and who wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And the other reason I think that is Nancy had a hate-filled stare at the president almost the whole while, and Chuck Schumer, it appeared to me, had a smirk on his face all the while. And that is not going to help unity when you put party ahead of the will of the people.
Okay, that's your takeaway, Nancy. Thank you so much for sharing that today.
Thank you.
And folks that were hearing, your reaction, your takeaway from the speech last night. Racine, Wisconsin, Latt, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Jim. I just want to comment on the speech I watched last night. I think the president made some good and valid points. And where I was really moved in the speech is, I can't remember, but I think it was that the man that was from North Korea when he held the crutches up.
Yeah.
And he defected from North Korea and got to South Korea. He's in South Korea now, and he's trying to help people. And what we need to remember, you know, whether the Democrats, we know they're fighting against Trump and they're not allowing him to get the agenda out that the American people need in this country. And the main thing that we need to do as Christians is we need to pray for our leaders.
We do.
You know, I pray for President Trump, President Vice President Pence, that the Holy Spirit will guide these people, our officials in office,
mm-hmm.
and the Holy Spirit will work through them, and they will keep fighting the good fight for the betterment of God, country, and the people of this United Nation. No matter what the Democrats do, God is in power, and he is in control of this, and we have to keep praying for our leaders.
Okay, thank you, Latt. And let me just be mindful as well. Our leaders include, doesn't matter if they have an R or D behind their name. I mean, we pray, you mentioned the Republicans, but pray for Nancy Pelosi, minority leader. Be praying for Chuck Schumer, minority leader in the Senate as well as your own state and local officials. Michael in Pensacola, Florida, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. Just will make comments. Last night, the Democratic Party showed their true stuff. Each one of the people who would not stand, they need to be taken out of office and horsewhipped. You may not like the president, but you have to respect the office. He's doing a fine job, and they need to stop being sore losers.
Thank you for your observations. That's pretty much what was said from the senator of West Virginia, saying, you know, I respect the office that is there. Kevin in Milwaukee, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. I thought the speech last night was wonderful. It was good to hear all the accomplishments that were happening, you know, constantly on Facebook. You hear the other side. Well, what has he done? What has he done? Well, you know what? He had about an hour full of great accomplishments, and to see people that weren't excited about that on the other side, I think it's un-American, and, you know, it's hard for me to, you hear these great accomplishments, and they're not excited about it. It's sad to see. That's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you. Even when it was announced about the unemployment going way down, and unemployment of black Americans dipping to its lowest levels, not even applause for issues like this or more money coming back into people's, you know, from the taxes and tax cuts taking place. Carol in Ohio, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is Carol Demick, and I'm in Buckeye Lake.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to say that I thought it was a really good message. I'm about to turn 71, and I used to be Democrat, and I wouldn't even consider the way they act. And I believe that term limits should be brought in. We don't have kings and queens there. And I like the idea that Trump brought in people who could show valor and patriotism and love for an unborn child.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carol. Anne in Montello, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to mention, I didn't get to hear all of the State of the Union address last night.
Mm-hmm.
I just caught the last few minutes of it, and for a minute, I didn't remember who it was. I almost thought it might be some minister giving an example. I'm really glad we have a president who actually talks about God like that and isn't trying to bring in something like Islam, like our last one did. Okay. I just wanted to say that.
Thank you, Anne, for your comments. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Your reaction, your takeaway from the State of the Union address last night. Tim in South Dakota. Oh, lost Tim. Okay. Let's go to Gordon in Idaho. You're on the air, Gordon.
Yes. I was glad to hear on the speech last night, I was glad to hear that he is not going to close the jail at Gitmo.
At Gitmo, uh-huh.
Yes, I've been there on two different aircraft carriers, and I think we've got to have that place down there.
Okay. Thank you for your thoughts. Yeah, he made it very clear that he was going to keep that for enemy combatants, and much opposed to the position by the Obama administration. Thank you, Gordon, by the way, for your service.
Proudly, too, buddy.
Bye-bye now. Bye-bye. Mary Jane in Crystal Falls, Michigan, you're on the air.
Well, hello. I just want to say that I think that was the best State of the Union address I've ever heard, and I'm 79 years old.
Hmm. Okay. And what was it about that address that made you say it, you believe it was the best?
Oh, everything. Everything was so encouraging and positive, and the identifying the people in the audience that sacrificed and were heroes of sorts.
Okay. Thank you for your comments.
I didn't like the Democrats staying seated.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Sandy is calling from Rome, Georgia. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you so much. Hello?
Sandy, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I'm calling in reference to the State of the Union address, and I want you to know that I don't think I've ever seen such rudeness in all my life to the President of the United States. If they don't care for him, that's their loss, but they should be better at losing and not trying to make the rest of the world miserable because they are. And I'm sorry for them, and I know that a lot of us are, and a lot of us are praying that they can either leave the country or behave in our country. And if they don't want to behave, they shouldn't be here because they're making it hard for our children, our young adults, and also the ones that we're trying so hard to help that come in new. And the thing I liked the very best about it was the fact that we are to respect the flag. And we are to respect God Almighty.
Hmm.
And this is an awesome thing that America hasn't had for many, many years. Anything else you'd like for me to tell you?
No, just your reaction, and you've done it quite well, sharing your thoughts. Thank you so much, Sandy, for your call. We're going to take a quick break here in Crosstalk. We've got a couple open lines and getting your reaction to the State of the Union address last evening. Hearing from a lot of folks who noticed some have called it the rudeness that was there, the lack of appreciation even for patriotism. We'll be back in just 1 minute. Our number is 800-733-9829. We'll be right back.
Do you find yourself guilty of committing the same sin over and over again? You confess it, but you find yourself repeating it again. The Bible tells us that we are to mortify or put to death the deeds of the flesh. For believers, this becomes a daily challenge as the internal struggles ensue. Sadly, many fall into repeating patterns of sin and struggle sincerely with knowing how to break free. In the book, Killing Sin Habits, author Stuart Scott addresses the repetitive nature and pattern of sin and the hindrances that keep people from overcoming their sinful habits. He also provides practical insight as to how God, through the work of the Holy Spirit and radical faith, can help you have victory over sin in your life. He addresses the issue of genuine repentance and provides a detailed battle plan for killing sin habits in our lives. The booklet, Killing Sin Habits, is available for a donation of $12 or more by calling VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
getting your takeaway from the State of the Union address last night. President Trump delivered it, a very lengthy speech, and it was noted for its length last night. Very few have gone over the one-hour mark, certainly his was among the top two or three of as far as length is concerned. But getting your reaction to the speech last evening as it took place before a joint session of Congress, that is for those who attended. Let's go to Texas, and we have Eddie calling. Hi, Eddie, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. But I just want to comment, you know, and I wish just everybody would get a stay off of all this controversy that's going on and get with the program. Let our president do his job, because as of last night, you know, he's got a couple of standing ovations, and I believe he's doing our job for our country, but give that poor guy a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, brother.
Okay, thank you for your thoughts. Tony in Whitewater, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. Beautiful speech, excellent speech that Donald Trump did last night. And it was really incredible. Let's hope and pray that he can do these things, but he needs to stop wasting all this time tweeting nasty things about other people to focus on all the good things that he said and can do. And he needs to focus on bipartisan support. It takes all of them to get something going. The Democrats need to get their stuff together as well as the Republicans.
Okay.
And work together. Thank you.
Thank you, Tony, for sharing your thoughts. Gene is calling from Michigan. You're on the air.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. Yeah. I really enjoyed his speech last night. I thought it was excellent. And I'm 74 years old, so I've been through quite a few elections over the years. And I'll tell you, the trouble is with Congress, there's too many of Democratic socialists, and socialism is communism. The only difference between communism and socialism would be socialism, they share the wealth. Communism, they take the wealth. But anyway, he really gave a good speech. And there was one other thing I was going to say, but I forgot what it was now. On the clapping. You know, like when Brock was running, they clapped so loud that they had almost a shout, you know, holder, you know. But what I noticed, and I was listening real close, the clapping was loud, but then tapered off. So, you know, a lot of people, they say, well, they didn't get the applause. Yeah, well, they turned it down. So anyway, that's all I have to say, and okay. God bless all you at BCY, and keep up the good work.
Thank you for your observations, Gene. Brian in Wendell, Massachusetts, you're on the air. Hello, Brian.
Yes.
You're on the air. Brian.
Yes, hi.
You're on the air.
Hello.
Okay. Let's go on to Alex calling from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Alex, you're on the air.
Hey, yes, sir. I just wanted to give some love and more recognition to that officer last night here from Albuquerque.
Yeah.
Such an amazing man. I just thought I'd call, heard you guys talking about him, and I couldn't believe he got such recognition. And
yeah.
It's just amazing, sir, and I wanted to give him some love. And heroin's a huge epidemic here. It's so sad. I'd love to see him. Love to see what they did.
Thank you, Alex, for your thoughts on that. Sure. And, yeah, coming right from your backyard there. Steve in Salina, Kansas, you're on the air.
Jim, I'll tell you something. If you were to see poster children for just pure anger, unrighteous anger, that would be the Democrats. I mean, the hatred for Trump, it bled over into even the sacrifices and the heroes that Trump pointed out last night.
Hmm.
And one more thing. I think that Trump, while he's not perfect, none of us are, he does acknowledge the God of the Holy Bible. I do believe it is the God of the Holy Bible he calls out over national TV.
Thank you for your thoughts, Sir Steve. Susan is next in Sarasota, Florida. Your reaction.
Yes. I watched the speech last night, and I felt that President Trump did a fantastic job, and there wasn't anything about his speech that warranted the behavior of the Democrats. And I sat there and watched Pelosi's face, twisted, smirky, and all I could think about is what an unhappy, miserable-looking woman she is, and so disrespectful to our country. So I'm sorry the Democrats hate us, but I'm used to it now. It was a bad year going through this election. and I lost his friends, but I'm awfully proud of Trump, and I hope he continues doing what he is doing.
Okay.
That's all.
Thank you, Susan, for your call today. Our number is 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Be sure when you call that you're listening over your phones, not over the radio, because there is delay. Dolores is calling from Pennsylvania, and Dolores, you're on the air.
Thank you. I've seen also, like the others, several of the State of the Union addresses and presidents coming in, and I think this was one of the most refreshing I've ever heard. He was wonderful. He did a wonderful job. And, of course, like always, there's so much criticism about the way he looked and so forth. But I was so disgusted and upset, too, like everybody else, about the looks and the dress and the twisting and turning and hatred that the Democrats were showing. And, you know, if they had set their pleasant look on their face and showed the respect that not just Trump, but the country deserves, I think the people would have looked at them with a different light, thinking that, well, maybe they're not so bad after all, but they've gotten so much criticism for this because they were really like children. They acted like spoiled children. And I remember, too, when Pelosi was up on that stage with Barack Obama, and every time he opened his mouth, she jumped up and started clapping. And this was so opposite. I mean, they just displayed a horrible state. And I think they should all live in North Korea for a couple of years and see how they like it over there.
Mm. Thank you, Dolores, so for sharing your opinions on it here today. And, it's interesting to see that the story is about the scowling of those who are in opposition to the president. And as some have pointed out, you know, the looking around of Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, are others standing? You know, is my party in check with this? I mean, that is becoming the story today, is that anger, the fervor that was showing, the scowls on the faces. Watertown and Carolyn, you're on the air.
Hi. I just want to say, I did watch the speech last night, and even though I dislike Trump immensely, he did give a good, I think, did give a good speech. There was a couple of points that I did not agree with, but that being said, yeah, the rest of it was good. And it was embarrassing the way the Democrats acted. You know, I'm not a Republican or Democrat, I'm independent. And I'm not a Republican fan, but the Democrats, I think it was terrible, just terrible. It was embarrassing for their constituents and for the whole country, and I don't think they should have acted like that. But all in all, I think the speech was pretty good.
Okay. Thank you, Carolyn, for sharing your reaction. Jeff is next in Fort Wayne, Indiana. You're on the air, Jeff.
I don't know. I'm not really a big Trump supporter at all, and I guess my belief is that look at all the tragedy, just like in the Bible, that God did, you know, that he flooded the earth when he was displeased with everything. As Christians, we really need to look and see how displeased God is with Trump. With all the tragedies that happened, there's been more tragedy happening during the 6 or 8 months he's been president, during the whole Obama administration. Look at all the floods in Texas. Look at all the things that have happened and everything. All the hurricanes and everything. Okay. I think, and he's an antichrist. Everyone's saying about him mentioning God. Well, just remember, Hitler did that too.
Okay.
Hitler did it, and look how he did the Holocaust
and
killed the Jews.
Jeff, as we're talking about the speech last night, what in the speech did you disagree with?
I just don't agree with anything. I think Trump's the antichrist. That's what he is.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for that. Fact check will show you otherwise on some of the things that were touted last evening. Richard in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Okay, hello, Brother Jim. Hey, thanks for taking my call. First of all, I agree with 99% of all these folks that agree with that speech last night, I think, and I'm 75 years old, I've seen a lot of those speeches.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? It really proves the divisiveness that is in this nation and the divisiveness in the two parties that are in power, so to speak. And the other party, the Democrats sitting there, they are proving to be the most divisive, and they're the ones that preach against divisiveness, and they are so divisive. And the other thing because I've really come to this conclusion. And I've got friends and I've got relatives that are so-called Democrats. I see people in church with Democrat Party things on their bumpers. How can somebody claim to be a follower of the Creator God, the God of the Bible, and expound that kind of a system that the Democrats have? They are anti-God. They're anti-biblical truth as a party. And it's really showing right now.
Okay.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for sharing your thoughts on the issue today. Mitch is calling from Rio Rancho, New Mexico. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. I'm calling. I had a comment about the speech last night.
Yes.
I wanted to say I was disappointed that Trump did not speak about what he's doing with his salary. I heard he was donating his salary to different nonprofit organizations, and I wish you would say that so people would know that he's not even making the money for being our president.
Mm-hmm.
And also, immediately after the speech, I turn on the news, and there's a bunch of negativity about the migrants. You know, people that are here legally and are trying to do better for our country, he has no problem with those people. We're talking about illegal aliens that have no record. You know, they don't have a driver's license. They don't have a name. If they commit a crime, you have no clue who did you wrong. Those are my comments, and thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
I appreciate your program.
Great. Thank you for listening, Mitch. Appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Dorothy is calling from Colby, Wisconsin. Dorothy, you're on the air.
Yes. Thanks for taking my call. As a child, when I went to school, we went out in the yard, raised the flag, pledged allegiance to the flag, and maybe even sang the Star Spangled Banner. I'm ashamed of what we saw last night, and we call them congressmen? No, they're not congressmen. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know who would vote for people like that that would show that much disrespect for a president, no matter who the president was. That's respect of the office. Thank you.
Thank you for your thoughts. Diane in Milwaukee, you're on the air.
Yes, I have a couple comments. That when they didn't stand or do anything but scowl with those four people of color, which is very important because one of the gentlemen next to Pelosi was a man of color. But here's the truth. Those Democrats are all, with they have security that watch them. They are gated community people, many of them. And how dare they not understand? I've lost a son. I understand the pain. Not their way, which is even more difficult. And the other thing is to, these were all people that went through Treasure America, but they went through tremendous difficulty.
Yeah.
And the other is, I may say quick, is that Trump talked about, most of what he talked about were things that were already happening, not that he promised, although he did that.
Okay, thank you for your comments, Diane. We're going to take a quick break and come back to more of your calls throughout the final segments as well, getting your reaction to the State of the Union address last evening. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewtimes.com. In 2004, there was a raid on a home in Northern Virginia, just outside of Washington, D.C., and a major Muslim Brotherhood proponent had in his basement over 80 banker boxes. Among the treasure trove that our FBI discovered was something known as the movement, the plan or the movement for North America. In fact, it was called Phases of the World Underground Movement Plan. It was a five-phase plan. Phase four includes this. Open public confrontation with the government through exercising the political pressure approach. It is aggressively implementing the above-mentioned approach, training on the use of weapons domestically and overseas, and anticipation of zero hour. My friends, the Muslim Brotherhood and their many front groups are indeed doing a soft jihad on America, but they're planning for a hard jihad, the zero hour.
The
Today we're taking Crosstalk listeners' reaction to the 2018 State of the Union address given last evening, hearing what you have to say. Not the pundits. We've heard from a number of speeches were given last evening and news commentary. Today, let's hear from America. Beth in West Dallas, you're on the air.
Yes, I wanted to say, like the other woman said, you know, these Democratic people, they just show themselves to be the children that they are. But regarding Trump, I have to say I was really glad to hear that he brought out the impact of the unvetted people that are here in the United States and how it affects, you know, the average citizen when he showed the example of the two couples that lost their daughters to the MS-13.
Right.
And as far as I'm, you know, I know this is just, it's not an unusual situation, fortunately. So the other thing is, too, is that I'm glad how he highlighted the number one purpose of the U.S. government was to protect its people so that they can thrive and flourish and have their dreams as well.
Thank you, Beth. And with that, coupled all his the regulation cutting that he's been doing as well. Let's go to John in Orange Beach, Alabama. You're on the air.
Hey, Jim. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I just want to mention, one, the speech that was given. Trump kept saying we and us, opposed to Obama, who said I. And the other thing was that he pointed out one thing to me. According to the scriptures, Jesus said you'll know them by their fruits, not their words. Now, what we've seen thus far, Trump has stood up for godly principles. He's bringing back Christmas. He's bringing back those things that mean a whole lot to us Christians. I'm going by what the Bible says and not what people say.
Okay. Thank you, John, for your observation. Our number is 800-733-9829. Herbert in Mobile, Alabama. Go ahead, Herbert.
Yes. I listened to Trump's speech last night. I didn't think anything fantastic about it, just like I didn't think anything fantastic about President Obama's speech, because they're both really politicians, and they're both going to tell you exactly what they think you want them to hear. But the thing I want to point out is that I didn't vote for Trump. I didn't like Trump, but I'm a firm believer in giving him respect. It's like we give the Republicans want the Democrats to give Trump respect. When Obama was in there, the Republicans should have given him respect, even to the point of saying that, coming up with some trumped-up charge that he wasn't even born in America. But so now the Republicans are belly-aching about the Democrats. So you read what you sow.
Okay.
Thank you, Herbert. Just be nice to everybody.
Thank you, Herbert, for your comment. Marianna's next in Milwaukee. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I think that was the best speech, State of the Union speech I have ever heard in my lifetime. And that's saying a lot. I'm 68 now. I would like to see VCY America please run it on television so that we can hear it again. And I also think that the Democrats are really behaving very dishonorably. For 8 years when we had Obama in office, and we all knew he, you know, isn't an American citizen, really. The Republicans showed up. They were dejected somewhat, but they at least honored the office of our presidency and did their job in as honorable a manner as they could. And the Democrats need to get a clue and wake up.
Okay. Thank you for your thoughts on that. David in Kenosha, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. I listened to the speech. It touched my heart, not just my head. And I'm a veteran. I served in South Korea. And when he mentioned North Korea, I echo and affirm what he said. It's one of the worst places. I know he had the open doors on the other day about the persecuted church.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a final thought I have, is for the saints to be praying. Our prayers are not in vain. I know you're a praying guy and you encourage others. So let's keep doing that. And, thank you, Lord, for the speech, and a man that he doesn't have to be doing that. People need to remember he didn't have to run for the president. And there's an awful lot that have whoever the president is, has, the load they carry and what they got to go through.
Thank you, David.
So, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Sandy's calling next in Madison, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I have been so discouraged for some time during the Obama administration, I was so glad to hear what I heard last night from our president, and I heard nothing but positive things, and I heard that there are problems in this country, which we all know about, but he is standing up and is going to address those problems, and I think something's finally going to get done. I have debated people at Freedom From Religion, and we're surrounded by the left here in Madison, Wisconsin. We have Tammy Baldwin as our senator, one of them, but we have Ron Johnson and this Mark Pocan guy, gay rights and gay activism. Mm-hmm. I think that's all wrong, and they have hijacked a lot of our founding principles.
Thank you so much, Sandy. Appreciate your feedback. On the State of the Union, John in Ohio, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jim. Thank you, Brother Jim. Just want to say the disrespect that was showed last night, not so much towards the man, but towards the office of the presidency. People need to realize that I believe that Trump is God sent, and it doesn't matter what the Democrats do or disrespect or whatever. If it's God's will, Trump will carry through with what he plans to do.
Okay. Thank you, John, for your thoughts. We're going to squeeze one last call in from West Virginia. Jonathan, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. We're down to 30 seconds. Go quick.
Okay. Me and my wife never voted before in our lives, and this year we both voted. We voted for Trump. And last night's speech was the best my wife has ever heard. And she's into politics. I'm not. But I know it says in the Bible that we're supposed to pray for our leaders and respect them. And I think I agree with everything that everybody's saying except for that one man that didn't have nothing good to say about Mr. Trump.
Thank you for your comments. We are out of time, and I apologize for that. Thanks for calling from West Virginia, but you sure end the program great, reminding us the importance of praying for our leaders. Doesn't matter, again, folks, if there's an R or a D behind their name, an L or an I, let's be praying for those in authority over us. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.